Hello everyone, I am Mirta Hurtado Rivas. No VIPs or rock stars, just simple people sharing their life stories to trigger discussions around important topics, or simply to inspire us to embrace challenges ourselves. Welcome to Leaderching. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Leaderching. My guest today is Krina Frisch. Krina is not only a friend, but also an excellent IP professional. Hi, Krina, how are you?
Hi, Mirta, I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you for inviting us.
So, Krina, let us jump directly into this discussion. I would like to know, what were you thinking of becoming when you were a child? What was your kind of your dream as a profession?
Okay, I had very peculiar dreams about my future. So I was dreaming becoming an acrobat at circus. I'm not joking. So I was dreaming that there is a school for acrobats. And my father was never telling me that it's like unrealistic dream or thing like that. He let me keep dreaming. And suddenly I changed my mind. Not suddenly, much later when I was in the high school trying to find something more serious than being an acrobat.
So maybe let's just go back to the acrobacy. Why do you think that that was something you wanted to become? What was appealing to you when you were a child about this profession, that it's a little bit special, as you said?
I think that maybe it was the first time or the second time I went to a circus performance. And I was living in a communist country where everything was just gray and plain. And, you know, the lights, the spectacular thing people were doing, costumes, animals. It was like a dream, you know, and I wanted to jump in a parallel world, a more colorful one, and also making the people happy, because, you know, the circus, everybody is just laughing and in the good mood. Probably there was a reasons for that, but I was really, really, you know, thinking very seriously.
So you just mentioned for our listeners, you're making reference, you were brought up in Romania. Can you tell us a little bit more about kind of your childhood? How was it in Romania at the time when you were growing up?
So it was normal for that normality for the period of the communist when everything was controlled by the state. Actually, we had nothing. All the shops were almost emptied, and you were queuing for the elemental basic things like milk, and we had like a make a portion, a ratio what we can eat per day, how many pieces of bread, 1 liter of milk for 4 people in a family. Electricity was up and down, not sure when I could do what time the, my home works, and no information, no connection. So it was like a closed society. It was like a time capsule. But I was, we did not know any alternative. So we were pretty much happy. We were taking our studies very seriously. We were playing like the normal kids in front of the flats. Parents were trying to do our days more brighter and to have like experiences, memories about everything, like a trip in the countryside or celebrating Christmas in some kind of obscure way, because you never know when the secret police will come and knock your door, because religion was forbidden. So it was, let's say, a kind of different way growing up in a communist country.
Yes, I think like for many of us, that have not lived in a country like that, it seems like almost from another period of time, right? But it's not that long ago, actually, and I think that it must be kind of crazy when you think about that today we have all this amount of access to information, access, unlimited shopping everywhere, and when you compare it to what you were talking about, it's quite a difference. You also mentioned that you were taking your studies very seriously at the time, and you mentioned earlier on that it was during your high school time that you then changed your mind about what you wanted to become. What did lead you to this change of mind?
Just probably I've grown up. I was a teenager, and according to my very basic research, there I didn't find a way how to get into the special school for circus. Never know actually whether there is exists something like that, because now I found out that like former sports gymnastics are taking them, or I don't know, maybe abroad there are some schools. And then I realized that I need to take and to have a future to make some money. And I was just, having like an realization, something hit my head. My parents didn't interfere in any of my plans, and I've decided that I'll go to the law school. Which was a pretty very tough decision and a very risky one, because at that time, even the places at the law school or any other universities were they were limited, because in the communist socialist countries, things are making like a planification and state control in every way. So there were like 100 places per year to get into the university. Then your file, like personal file and background, should have been spotless, which was not the case because my family is a mixed one. So from my mother's side, we are Hungarian Romanians. From my father's side, we are German Hungarians, which was not, let's say, the normal thing in Romania. And then even my father, he was in the army, but he was pretty vocal about the regime, about the system. So we were under kind of scrutiny. And my father told me that, okay, I should follow my dream, but I will get in the university very, very, very hard, which actually happened because I tried first time. Maybe, okay, I can admit that the competition were pretty high. We were like thousands of hundred competing for 100 places in the university. So I didn't get it the first time. And then I've decided that I need to learn something very practical. So I went to the school, and I've been hairdressing for 1.5 years before I got into a university, getting my own money, learning a skill, which I can survive anywhere, depend less, the regime, the country. I can get back any time. So it was my practical idea, and I'm very proud of it.
You should, yeah, definitely. I think that, as you know, I also had a practical skill that I hone, and I think it's always good when you know that you can fall back on your feet with something that you can do yourself, irrespective of where you are. So
Exactly.
I'm fully with you, and I think it's always good to take the time when you cannot pursue your first option immediately to try to find a side path that still will give you something and has a positive impact. So yeah, I think that's fantastic. And actually, as you said, hairdressers, they will be needed always and everywhere. Excellent. So then you made it finally into law school, and you mentioned that based on your background and on the mindset that your father had, it might not have been the easiest way to go. How did you feel? Was it? Did you feel some further? Did you face some further challenges during your law school studies?
No, once I got into the law school, for me it was, I don't know, I really loved it from the beginning. So it was not a day. I could say it was a tough one. Everything was tough. because we had like the Roman law. Everything in Romania is very academic, not connected with the practical issues of the law. But I love every second, and it was like when you are doing something what you are liking and with passion, everything gets easier. Easier, easy. I loved it. And
Well, that's great.
the thing was that
And so you, yeah, sorry to interrupt you. So you continue to be passionate today about law, right? Because the times when we've met and we talk about cases and so on, I can still see that you're very, very committed to your work. What is it that has kept you so passionate about this?
maybe also the challenges is that my practice is based like 80% on intellectual property, which field which is changing a lot. Every case, every client is different, and it's the curiosity to go beyond all the information and legal aspects. I like to all the time I'm touching and approaching the field of the client where he's performing. Industries coming from or for the, let's say, non-commercial, non-intellectual property cases to I'm spending time with the client, to know his needs, what he's expecting, to give him realistic chances about the litigation or to find alternative solution. Because I think that we lawyer, we should be all the time very realistic and give the client all the information he needs, the alternatives, and not just to drive them into an, hopeless litigation, which is no winning party.
So, Karina, you and maybe for just those that are listening, it's maybe not clear, but you have your own practice, as you just mentioned,
Yes.
right? But I assume that before having your own practice, you also worked somewhere else and had some working experience there, or how did it happen that you set up your own practice?
Once I finished my law school, I've been recruited by one of the Romanian biggest and oldest IP firm. They were doing actually prosecution, not much litigation. And so with me, they set up their legal department. I was working with them for 8 years, and because they were big at that time. They were having like a big portfolio of clients with different needs, different cases. So it was actually a pleasure, a challenge to file for the first cancellation action on for trademarks, for example, to file for the first appeal for a patent revalidation. And at that time in the 1980s, 98, 97, when I was a trainee at that law firm, we were not having the internet. All the books were from the former period. So actually, I was creating, inventing literally every action, every type of, legal right. And it kept all the all nights long to search in whatever very limited possibility, like books, to see how it's about a patent assignment, why the inventor can assign the patent before granting. I'm not joking. I spend nights thinking about these possibilities.
Yeah, I think it was like what you're mentioning is kind of when we had only books, then it was much more about our own creativity, right? Because we had to be kind of looking for options and trying to read between the lines as to what is possible or not. And today we heavily rely on data, right? It is at the tip of our fingers. So it's a very different way of working.
Yeah, indeed, it's true.
So when you were at this law firm, I assume you also had managers. I would like to hear from you what you believe is a good manager, a good leader. What does one person need to display as characteristics to be considered in your eyes as a good leader?
Okay, so I don't know, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. So when I was training, and then my first firm, I was working with my boss and my manager was not, they were not exactly coaching me. But from the other hand, okay, I was not having unlimited freedom, but they just put me into the, you know, fact. My first working day, it was to put up a contract, a representation contract for clients and the agency, IP agencies, you know, without any orientation, any things. And I was just, you know, basing my research and my draft on the civil code. I was forwarding it to my boss as soon as possible, meaning a couple of days. And then I heard nothing back, not feedback, nothing. I was shy to ask, you know, I know my place, I'm a trainee working for such a big firm. And after a couple of weeks, I take the nerve to ask, okay, what's your opinion about the draft I was making it? And my boss was looking at me and said, oh, it's already implemented. We are working on that already with the clients. And I was thinking that, you know, it's a draft made by a trainee. Maybe my boss should modify something, add something. I was a bit, I don't know, not happy, a bit shocked that things are going like that, no communication. So for a leader, communication, give and the orientation to the people. They will need this orientation. Listen to them. Cut them if it's necessary when they are getting, you know, along the way they should be. And then also I had like not a very positive experience as the law firm, the IP firm I was working with. It was not just old because they were the oldest one, but they were very old as mentality. Being a state-owned company, they had this mentality that only the director, the manager, the bosses, they have the right to sign all the papers or communication to the clients. They are the lawyers, they are the patent attorney. Actually, it was like they were never exist. Everything was assumed by the manager. And one time, I don't know, a client from US was asking, okay, everything is signed and Mr. X, it's appeared to be our lawyer, our attorney, our agent. But anytime they were trying to call and to, you know, to clarify something, Mr. Manager was never available because he said, "Ah, I'm so busy, I cannot take it." And then the other client was just asking during one of the NTA conference whether our manager is really a person, really exists, or is just a. I'm not joking. It was like that, and it was like a big, you know. Winning thing when we were having discussions, the patent department, trademark department, legal department with the head of the legal, of the patent department to allow the attorney or the lawyer, which was actually working on the case, to have the third signature because the letters or the memo sent to the clients were like that. First signature manager, head of patent department, and somewhere the third place was the agent or the lawyer which was actually working on the case. So it was a very peculiar organization about leaders. I cannot talk in that form of organization. For sure, you know, if you are positive from each of the experience, it can lead you to something bigger, to have a bigger pictures. And that's why when I started my own practice, I said that no trainee in my office, no intern will just live like that. Okay, take this file, no orientation, no explanation, no teaching. So I'm trying in my own practice to do it differently.
Thank you for sharing that, Karina. And I think you have touched on a couple of points that are really interesting and valuable. So the first thing is that you're saying a manager needs to be able to communicate and to listen, right? There needs to be an environment where associates and managers communicate with each other, but also get feedback and get help and support to grow. And I think that's extremely important statement. The other thing that you're saying is that we need to make space for our associates to be visible, to be recognized as those doing the work, right? So each person should get appreciation for the work that's being done. And that's maybe something also very important, because nowadays we see a lot of things are being done in teams, right? There is a lot of teamwork happening. And I think often enough, when you work in teams, it's not always as easy to recognize everyone to the right level of its contribution. So I think that's another very important statement. It's for us managers to look for options as to how to recognize the hard work of our associates, but also, as you said, to help them go back on the right path if they are kind of looking for it, right? If they still need the support to do so. I wanted to ask you also a question with respect to leadership, and maybe you can share this as you have such a long-standing experience. Do you believe that female or male make a difference when it comes to management, to manage people?
For sure. I really believe that women are better managers, better leaders, because I don't know, it's based on their instinct, is they based on their possibility of multitasking, about the fact that men are having a bigger ego, and for them it's the main thing is for managers to be recognized, to have the floor. I realized in my experience and in my practice, both personally and professionally, that men will leave little floor for the others or for the youngest to be in the spot. On the other side, women are more, maybe also, with maternal instinct or thing like that, they will coach much better, give explanations, spend time with the younger associates, if they are more ready to give them the floor and to explain things were not doing, they were not doing it right or in the right approach, or to draw their attention about some details which are really matter. So to conclude, yes, I think that female and men managers are different, and women are better leaders, better managers.
Thank you for sharing that. Very clear, actually. I think this is the first time someone has given such a clear statement to this question. This leads me to the next question. I wanted to know, do you think that in Romania there is still a need for a discussion around gender? Do we still need to support women to break the glass ceiling or to get more leadership roles, be it in society or be it in private business? What is your thinking about
No,
that?
in Romania, I don't think that it's a big issue about inequity between men, gender. In practice, probably, and in my experience, it's not probably. In the private sector, I believe that they are not totally equal, like, the benefits, salaries, and things like that. That being a communist country where it was one of the principle, it was the fact that men and women are equal. And it was women who were promoted in order to have like the good pictures and things like that. And I believe that in public sector, there is not much problems and things like that. But in private sector, as I heard from my friends, like some of the top level, execution level, there are some differences. Men are having a better pay check at the end of the day.
So thanks for sharing that, Krina. I was wondering, it seems like the fact that Romania was, or better said, had a communist regime for a while, kind of helped with gender equality, because you were saying, it has a lot to do with how this was a principle during communist times. And it seems like it is in private, actually, in the private business side, that there is a little bit more to do. It's not the first time I hear that in former communist or socialist countries, actually, the equality of genders was more looked at as a principle. So maybe then let's go to the next question. And I think this is going to be the last question of our conversation today. If you were able to go back and speak to yourself when you were in your 20s, what type of recommendation would you give yourself?
To do the same thing as I did, take every possibility which will show in my life and take it, not to debate whether something better will achieve or not. And then once you get a chance, work on that. And I will apply the same principle. It's not what you are doing for an office, a law office, or an organization, or what they are doing for you. It's a question how good you are able to do your practice, how you are helping the others and helping, the organization to grow up. I think that young people are forgetting they are very competitive. So all the time they are saying, I know that the other firm are giving that opportunities or that one. Okay, you made a choice. You are here. Do your best. Explore your possibility, Maybe the second chance you'll never have to work in the IP field or in the law office. Maybe the second chance will not be the same. Who knows? So take the life by horn and make the best of what you can do in your activity and your life, I think. I will do the same thing again.
Well, what I think is really good to when you look back, I have the feeling what you're saying is that you don't regret any of the choices that you made, and that you have kind of this motto that guides you, that is to try to do your best in the current position or situation that you're in. You just mentioned young people, and I think that you have trainees and you see this younger generation coming into the workplace. You just mentioned that. Sometimes they may be doubting, is this the right opportunity, or will be a better one come along? And maybe then they are kind of limiting themselves a little bit. Do you see a difference between your male trainees and your female trainees in this respect, or not at all?
I can see all the time it's not only for the trainees. It's like girls or women are more, they are having more determination. They are more serious. They are working harder. Boys or men or the young practitioners are dreaming a lot or postponing procrastination. It's one of their habits. Or after, just 1 week, 2 months in the office, I need a day off. I'm having something very serious problem personally. I need to check for an apartment. I need to buy the furniture for the apartment. And there is no problem that a more senior person or lawyer will be in the office. And for them, there is no problem. It's no shame, I remember when I was a trainee, I was just being so humble and I was. Quoting my boss saying it will be okay to take my vacation 1 week in the summer and it will not interfere with his own downtime and things like that. There is no such a case now, And to answer and to make a conclusion, girls are more settled and they know it, they are having like a clear vision what they want and to take the advantage of the possibility they got. In a certain point, certain working place, and so on.
Thank you, Karina. And I think so this is very good news for women, because it seems that the women you are seeing are very already kind of have a clear mind of what they want to achieve, and they're putting the hard work into that. And I think for our male colleagues, well, let's train at not procrastinating anymore, or at being at changing a bit. I think what you're showing us also a different perspective, and I think that's what we try to do here at Leader Ching is that, you know, to listen to different minds and different experiences to really show that a lot of types of lives and a lot of types of professions exist, and also the dreams, right? You're dreaming to become an acrobat and then ending up being one of the most reputed IP lawyers in Romania and still having the same passion and looking back, actually wanting to do it all over again. I think it's a very inspiring story. And I think it fits perfectly well in the holiday season. So I'm sure that our listeners would be very, you know, positive after listening to our conversation. I would like to thank you once again, Karina, for being with me today. It has been a pleasure as always. I really hope that we can see each other face to face very soon.
I hope so.
So thank you once more, Karina. Take care, and my best wishes to all of you.
Thank you, Mirta, for giving me this opportunity, and happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Bye. Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Leader Ching in English. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on your respective platform and subscribe to our podcast. See you soon!